preacher. Now, you know what I'm talking about. But I appreciate this man's faithfulness. Felt like you ought to preach for us for 20 minutes this morning. It's good to have his son, Brother Ricky Kesey, pastors there, the Midway Baptist Church in Elyria, Ohio. Amen. I love you, preacher. Thank you for being faithful, serving the Lord. Amen. You can be seated while he preaches.
Well, it sure is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to be among God's people. It is a fact that God's got people everywhere, all over the place. If you go around, you'll find them. They're out there. Somebody said to Jerry Falwell one time, said, Jerry, you know, we're the elect. And he said, yes, and the more doors I knock on, the more of the elect I find. They're out there. They're all over the place. They're out there. We just need to go get them. Andrew Jackson said he could throw his brother 6 times out of 7, but he wouldn't stay throwed. Amen. I want to be like him. I'm not going to be throwed, and I'm not going to get down and not get back up. I'm going to get back up. In Pike County, Kentucky, where I was from, where I was born and raised, they had flash floods often, and they would come a flash flood, and it just washed everything out. And there's a little boy up in the head of that holler that got caught in that flood, and he washed out. And as he's coming down the creek, is a big rock over on the right side, and he managed to get over there close to where that rock was, and he grabbed onto that rock and held onto that rock all night long, and the next morning, some of the rescue people found him and rescued him, and they got him over on the creek bank and up on the road, and some people from the news media was there and said to him, you know, you need to, what was it like out there? And he said, I can't explain it. And one of them said, I bet you really shook out there. He said, yes, I did. But that big rock I was holding on to never moved. Amen. So I believe that there's a rock that you can hold on to that'll never move. He has not moved in the past, and he'll not move in the future. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. I want to preach this morning. I like to preach. I've never done anything except preach all my life. That's all I've ever done since I was 18 years old. The Lord saved me when I was 18, and I preached for about a year before me and Mommy got married. My biggest and best critic is not here this morning. She's praying for me right now. But I can tell you this, she's pretty critical, especially of preaching. I don't know if you preachers experience that or not, but I mean, she is always critical of something that I said. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said this other thing. I wish you'd have done this. I wish you'd have done that. And I told her, I said, honey, you didn't call me. And so, you know, since you didn't call me, I don't think you... I'm working for somebody that's a lot less critical than you are. Amen. Well, I want to preach. I love to preach. I like to preach. You would think that a man that had been doing it as long as I have would be a lot better than what I am. But I'm not. It's something that hinders me. I got a good education. I've been through all the schools, and they've taught me everything they know, and I still don't know anything as I ought to know it, and I wish I could do better, but I can't. But I'm going to preach this morning out of the third chapter of the book of Matthew. If you'll open your Bibles, I'm going to preach just for a few minutes. I never have. I look back there at that clock, and that's the most frightening thing I've ever seen in my life. I've been a driver education teacher all my life and taught people how to drive. And I've looked at traffic lights, but I've never seen one in church. And so... But it's a frightening thing, especially when the light changes. You know, just... You've been in a car, and you get out and get rolling pretty good. And I mean, just when you hit that fastest pace, the light changes. And that makes me nervous. I told Ricky, I told my son, I said, son, you watch that light and then let me know. The only sign that I've ever had in church preaching was this sign. That's what mommy does. That's what my wife does. Cut it. Now I'm going to preach. If you found the third chapter of Matthew, say amen.
Amen.
In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this he is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord to make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel hair and a leathern girdle about his loins. His meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out unto him Jerusalem and Judea, all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sin. But when he saw many the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit, meat for repentance. Now I'm going to stop right there because my time is limited, but you need to read that. You need to read that down to the 13th verse. And I'd like to take you back to that first verse where it says, in those days, what they believed in those days and what we believe in these days may be a lot different. But I think if we've been called of God and we're preaching out of this book right here, I think we're preaching the same thing in these days that they preached in those days. And if you're not, you need to change your preaching. Amen. It needs to go back to those days, what they preached in those days. You say, Brother Chuck, I think it'd be a good thing. I think it'd be a good thing if our preachers had a better education. Some of the most powerful men that I've ever met in my life didn't have any education at all. Amen. And so they come out of the head of that holler and they got down on their knees and they said, Lord, I just want to ask you for a few things. But it seemed like to me that God was over. God was over there on his throne, sitting on his throne, and he called the elect angels around, and he said, "Listen, I want you to hear this man pray. I want you to listen to this man pray. I believe this morning that there's power. We need power. I'm in our preaching this morning. I believe that there's something about the preaching of the gospel that soothes the soul. There's something that comforts the heart. There's something that the Bible teaches us, and we're told in the Word of God that God saw that it was good. For people to meet like we're meeting here. Don't you thank God that He has a church for us to meet in, a place where we can come and exalt His name and lift Him up. Listen and bless His name. Oh, brother, don't tell me she's a city set on a hill that cannot be hid.
Yeah. Amen.
I seen her. Yes, I've seen her. I've seen that old church. I seen her with my mother. Now, it wasn't like this. It had a little ruffle around it. It had a few flowers in the middle of it. But when my mother sat on that back row, she never sat on the front row. She always sat on that back row. But all of a sudden, little Joe Thacker get up and start preaching. I've heard him 1,000 times. And my mother would get up, get that handkerchief out, and do like that. I know then that it was a lot. It was a city set on a hill that could not be hid. In those days, look at this. In those days, they believed in preaching. Amen. Look at it in verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching. Amen. In those days, they believed in preaching. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not against singing. I think singing is wonderful. But we got people that will drive 500 miles to hear a group sing. But they won't come and hear me preach on Sunday morning. I want to tell you something, friend. We're losing somewhere. And our preaching, the Bible said, he didn't want us to give a lecture. He didn't want us to give a lecture. He said, I don't want you to lecture them, Chuck. I just want you to preach to them and preach under the power and the influence of the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, let me tell you something. If that won't get the job done, nothing. I will get it done. And you say, Brother Chuck, what's he going to preach? What are we going to preach? I listen today. Preach a word. Be instant in season and out of season. I reprove and rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And listen to this. They'll entice you with great swelling word. But God said, preach the word to them. I think his word is this book. Amen. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners. Amen. Amen. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable, cannot be changed. It is given to you in life. It'll be opened at the judgment, and it'll be remembered forever. It's the greatest book that's ever been written. There's not another book like it. It's a river of life. It's a river of life for those that'll drink it. Amen. Listen to me. Somebody said, Brother Chuck, I don't think that you could preach the Word of God without knowing the Word of God. And you ought to study to know. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Amen. I've seen some that sure didn't do much rightly dividing, or at least I didn't think so. There's something really important about that rightly dividing. Amen. And I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I've been around for a long time, and I'm here to tell you that those who are not preaching the Word of God, I will answer one day to a God. Amen. Listen, and we got some good men. We got some good men that have went away from this book to a new one. To a new one. Yes, sir. It's no longer thee and thou. It's no longer thee and thou to them. It is to me. It is to me. I really believe it still means that ye must be born again. I still believe that it means that. That's preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God, much less enter it. Amen. You say, Brother Chuck, you have to know John 3:16 to be saved. No, you have to know you're lost. You have to realize you're lost. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You cannot teach a man to be saved. Did you know that? You can teach him all the days of your life. But I'm going to tell you something. Until God illuminates that life, until God illuminates that spirit, until God quickens, until God, hey, man, I don't know exactly. I can't explain it because I've only been born two times. And Amen. You need a lot of experience to know how what it's like to be born. I know this. The mother has a lot of pain. And when Zion travailed, when the church is crying, when the church is praying, babies will be born. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Chuck, our church is in trouble. Our church is in trouble. Our church is suffering. Can I tell you something? I never seen a baby born without some suffering. You ladies probably can tell us and certify that what I'm preaching is the truth. But I'm here to tell you, you got to be born again. If there's not a change that takes place in a man's heart and in his life, he's not saved. Yeah. Now, I want to tell you something. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I want y'all to listen to this and listen carefully. Being able to quote the Romans Road probably won't take you to Rome. Probably won't take you to Rome. Now, I want to tell you something. I believe there's such a thing. There's such a thing as experiencing conviction in your heart. Amen. And I'll never forget. I remember as an 18-year-old boy, pretty good football player, and I just had any girl in Belfry High School. I mean to tell you, they thought we was something because we was tough and mean. And but one day in 1959, in May of 1959. I graduated from high school, and I'll never forget that day. My mother, my brother come from Cleveland, Ohio to pick me up. I'd never spent a week away from home, much less a lifetime. And my mother was the sweetest person that ever lived, I think. And it was just her. It was just the way she... And I'll never forget that day when me and James left home, left ahead of that holler, headed for a place that I'd never been before in my life. And my mother packed that little suitcase, a little old tiny thing about that big. Everything I had in this world was in that. But let me tell you something. My blessed mother, we walked out on the porch, and I acted like I was really tough, you know what? But boy, when mommy kissed me, I mean, hey, brother, she kissed me all over my face and told me how much she loved me, how much she cared for me. And she said, now, Chuck, this is it. This is all your belongings right here. You be good. I want you to trust the Lord. I just want you to be good and do the best you can. And I walked off those steps with tears in my eyes. And my dad walked out on the porch or walked out on the grass in the yard just a little bit. And he pulled his pocketbook out. I'll never forget as long as I live. And it had a rubber band around it. I wear a rubber band around mine all the time. And it was ready to fall apart. And he took that rubber band off of that pocketbook and he gave me a 20 and a 5. And he said, Charles, this is all me and your mother's got. But as long as God's mercy, listen to what my dad said. He said, as long as God's mercy permits me to live, we'll never quit praying for you. Oh, let me tell you something, boys and girls. 380 miles away from home. I couldn't get that out of my mind. I couldn't quit thinking about the sweetness of my mother's kiss. I couldn't quit. I thought I'll be tough. But boys and girls, let me tell you something. When God comes along and breaks us down, he breaks us down. Amen. It takes us down. Amen. You'll be a different man. You'll be a different person. I'm here to tell you that preaching will do it for you. Preaching is the greatest thing that's ever happened to a man. It'll do it all the time. It'll do it every time. It's worth everything on this earth. I just know that I'm here to preaching. Hey, somebody said, Brother Chuck, have you heard the joyful sound? I've heard the joyful sound. It's a sound of freedom, boys and girls. I'm the freest man that ever lived upon this earth because he, oh, bless his sweet name, he set me free. I'm not bound any longer. I'm not bound any longer. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to meet him. But preaching is not the only thing they believed in. They believed in more than preaching. It's right here. And they said they believed in repentance. I want you to look at it in the second verse and saying repent. I want you to repent. Now most people don't believe in repentance. They just think somehow they grow up to be children of God. But I got to tell you something, boy. You got to repent. I want to tell you something. Since the day that I repented, I've repented every day for 62 years. Would you believe that? You'd think that a man that had been serving God as long as I had would live better than what I live. I pastored the same church for 35 years. And the members of that church would come and they'd say, Chuck, you're just the best man. You're just the best man we've ever seen, that we've ever known. Boys and girls, listen to me. If you knew how holy God really was, if you knew, no wonder, he said there's none good. No, not one. And it seemed like the holier I become, the more I abhor my unholiness. I'm telling you, I have thoughts that I wish I didn't have, and I wish God didn't know. But he knows. He just knows. He's something else, brother. He knows your every thought. He knows every idea that goes in. He knows everything about you. I'll hide it from him. He said, no, Chuck, you've got to repent of that. You got to repent of it. Now, I want to tell you something, fellas. You don't have to repent over a thing very many times till you'll quit it. That's right. I mean, you say, Chuck, that's not really true. Yes, that's true. Listen to me. That boy sitting right there, they've been a many times that I warned him. I just said, Ricky, don't you do that. And I just looked the other way. Turned around and looked. He's right back in it. Every now and then, I'd jerk him up by his arm and wear him out. And I said, son, I'll teach you not to do that anymore. Boys and girls, listen to me. My brother Bill was the meanest boy that I've ever known. I mean, he took chances on everything. And we lived up on the hill, and the only wagons we had was homemade. They was made, and it didn't have a brake on it. If you wanted to slow it down, you just throw your foot up on the front wheel like that, and it just ground down to a halt. You'd wear your shoes out, but you'd get your car stopped. But that's the only way. We get up on that hill. Our house set up on a hill. We go down that way, and the road was here, and the creek was over here, about 30 feet. And old Bill get up. Our daddy told us time and time again, now, boys, you can ride that bike an oftener, but don't go out in that road. Stop before you get to the road. Not Bill. Not Bill. Son, old Bill get her going as fast as he could. And he went across that road. He didn't look left or right. He didn't look no way. He just went across the road. And my dad told him time and time and time again. And finally, he told him, he said, "Now, Bill, if you do that again, you'll have to come in the house and you'll be able to watch through the windows the other children having such a good time. And sometimes you keep walking, you keep violating, and you keep violating, and he'll make you go home. He'll make you stay in the house." Amen. I want to tell you something. God's not fooling with us. God means business, and he wants repentance. He wants repentance. There's more to this thing than just repentance. That light's red. I've only covered two, and there's seven of them. Amen. Amen. I believe this. I believe that they believed in baptism. They believed in baptism. I believe a man won't be baptized. He may be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of you people. I got to tell you, I'm not ashamed. I've made plans to die among people just like you. I got my fellowship with you when I got baptized. Amen. I was baptized into the Baptist church. You understand? Formally baptized by men of God who trusted God and believed in God, and they baptized me. Did it make you better? No, it didn't. It identified me. It identified me that I belong to a group that is different. Amen. I belong to a group that was different. Now, here's the others. I'll just quote, give them to you, and then I'll leave. But they believed in confessing their sins. Notice what it says in that verse. It says, in verse 6, it says confessing their sins. They confessed that they were a sinner and that God had saved them, and they wanted to be baptized. They believed in taking a stand. Look at it. In verse 7, it says, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "Oh, generation of vipers." This thing's not for everybody. He said, "Oh, generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. Don't you be saying that you have Abraham, your father. If you were Abraham's seed, you'd do the works that Abraham did. You can't make it on your own. We belong to that seed. We belong to that seed, and that one seed is the Lord Jesus Christ." And then they believed in straight living. You say, "Brother Chuck, I don't believe that." Well, listen what it says. "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight." I'm done. And the green light's still on.